Yeah, I think it's so important to be able to pivot and evolve in law, in life. I have two kids. As a parent, it's important. Like having those skills in law school as an attorney or just as a human being will help you so much.
You are listening to You Are a Lawyer. I'm Kyla Denagno, and let's get right into today's episode. So, Lauren, welcome to the You Are a Lawyer podcast. How are you?
I'm good, Kyla. Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
Yes, I am doing very well, very, very well. We're recording right now for the 9th season of the show. I started it in 2020, so things are rolling. Yeah, I'm really, really excited. And we were talking offline because you're a podcaster as well. Can you tell us a little bit about your podcast?
I am, and I would love to. Let me just say, right now, it's currently the Wealthy Future Lawyer Squad podcast because I was only really talking to law students, but I've decided, you know what, that time between law school and becoming a new attorney, there's so many of the same hurdles and obstacles and roadblocks that we overcome. So season two, we're going to be launching it as just the Wealthy Lawyer Squad because it's going to be for law students and new attorneys. But it's so much fun. I love podcasting. I learn so much from my guests. It's a blast.
Yeah, you learn so much from your guests. You learn a lot about yourself, right? Because podcasting is public speaking. You have to prepare. You have to be comfortable. You have to ask the questions. You got to listen, like all of it. That gap between 5 years and being in law school is so important because that's like mostly my audience for the show too. Because when you're in law school, you're going to go do this one thing and that's it. And then you start practicing in your second year associate and you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. Or you're a public defender and you're like, never mind. And often people are afraid to change their mind or make a different, you know, career choice, which is why I talk to lawyers so I can let law students and young lawyers know you can do 800 things.
I agree. I feel like the sky's the limit. And I think sometimes we go into law school thinking the sky's the limit. And then the law school experience kind of narrows our focus and makes you think there's only one path to success, which is totally bogus because there's so many attorneys who are either practicing and doing other things or who are not practicing. And there's no right or wrong. It's whatever feels good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many options. And also you're allowed to explore those options, right? At least when I went to law school, I was really set on just kind of going through the conveyor belt. Okay. I got into school and now I finished school and then you have an internship and then you do this. By the time I looked up and was like, oh, I can make a living doing something else, it completely blew my mind, right? It was really hard for me to transition. So Lauren, what made you decide, okay, I want to share my voice and I want to even start this podcast?
So it goes back to around 2018, I was offered a job in big law and I had never really intended in going in that direction. I was always like, no, thank you. I want to stay at boutique firms and open my own firm one day. And that didn't change, but I got this opportunity that I just could not pass up with this large firm in Miami, international firm, but in the Miami office. And I was like, I'm going to work with really great people. I'm going to make a lot of money, pay off my student loans, like all the things. But I realized very quickly, I was already at a boutique firm. I was an associate at a boutique firm before that, stressed out, constantly like fully full of anxiety, waking up and just going. Major imposter syndrome. So I'm like, if I'm having these issues at this boutique firm, what's going to happen when I go into this big law environment? So I had a really long drive. So I started listening to life coach podcasts, self-development podcasts, reading tons of books, because I was like, if I can get myself right in here, I'll be able to hopefully thrive, but at least survive. And so I started building up my own toolbox of personal development mindset tools. Flash forward 2020, I'm still in big law, you know, pandemic hits, I'm sitting in my home office, pregnant, working 1 million hours a day, you know, the firm is cutting our salaries because of the pandemic, all this crazy stuff that was happening to so many people. And I was, again, listening to Life Coach podcast, trying to just keep myself okay in here and be productive and have output and bill hours. And all of a sudden, I had this thought, I was like, why don't we have this for law students? Why don't we have mindset coaching, success coaching, mindfulness for law students? I mean, law school, the stats show the mental health statistics in law school are atrocious. It is not much better in the legal profession. We just carry those toxic traits and behaviors with us into the practice of law. And so that's where my coaching program for law students and new lawyers, the Wealthy Lawyer Squad, was born. I have a community for, you know, for law students and new lawyers, really to kind of give them the tools and the community to be okay and to learn the tools to succeed and have balance and be healthy and take care of their mindset and their money and their health and all the things. Then I started a podcast last year. That was a very long-winded answer, but that's kind of, that was the evolution of everything. It started with me, and then I realized, wow, if this works for me, what can this do for, you know, everyone else going through this same process?
Yeah, but I think that makes sense, right? In the business world, they call that like market validation. You're like, okay, it worked for me. Well, let me just see if it'll work for someone else. And so then you start recording and then people start listening and you're like, oh, it does work, right? I even love the fact that you're going to rename your show and like kind of transition it, because a lot of times when people create things, no, now this is the brand. I cannot change it. Right. So I love the fact that you give yourself permission to change at every stage of where you are.
Yeah, I think it's so important to be able to pivot and evolve in law, in life. I have two kids. As a parent, it's important. Like having those skills in law school as an attorney or just as a human being will help you so much. You know, even when someone starts a business, like you might start the business, whatever it is, law firm or something else, it's going to evolve. You know, your market's going to tell you what they need from you. And then you need to be able to provide if it's aligned, you know, with your values and what you're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So Lauren, let's take a couple steps back. What was it that initially interested you in law school? Why did you decide to even become a lawyer?
So it's kind of an accident in some ways. I was in undergrad when the last financial crisis. So around 2008, 2009, I was graduating with a finance degree, interning at Merrill Lynch and figuring I would go into finance. And everyone's like, oh, you know what? This is probably not the best time to pursue a career in the financial space. Why don't you do something else? And I'd always kind of had in the back of my mind, you know, maybe I'll go to law school at some point. And for me, it just felt like the right decision. Let me bide my time, let the economy get a little bit better. So started law school, not sure, you know, I didn't know if I would practice or just start a business. I just figured it will be 3 years well spent. If I start a business, I'll really have, you know, the legal acumen to feel confident out there in the world. And, you know, and I figured it would be a fun experience and I would learn a lot. I was partially right. It was partially fun. It was partially hell, but you know, that's just how it goes. Started going through law school, 1L year, 2L year, still not sure what I want to do. Always loved real estate. Then I took a tax, well, then I took like a business associations class, but it was taught by the tax professor. I got the book award, the highest grade. And he's like, you should really take my tax class. And I was like, ooh, no, thank you. Tax. That sounds terrible. And he wanted me to take it in the summer. I'm like, no, I'm going to go intern for a judge. I'm going to go have fun. We're not doing that in the summer. He convinced me to take it in the fall. To my surprise, I fell in love with tax law, completely fell in love with tax law, realized it was very similar to my undergrad path. And so he convinced me to go get a tax LLM. So I went to the top schools in the country for a master's in taxation. So I really went to 4 years, 3 years of law school, 1 year of LLM, like a crazy person. But that's how I got into law school. And that's how I got into the area of law that I practice. All kind of by accident, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, but even as I'm listening, as soon as you said Merrill Lynch, I was like, oh, were you thinking about going into like investment banking or anything like that? So to me, it didn't sound too surprising when you fell in love with tax law. What was it that you did at Merrill? Were you on the financial side or marketing or consulting or?
Well, when I was at Merrill, I was basically like the grunt in a room with no windows, cold. So I was on a financial advisory team as an unpaid intern, picking up the phone and saying, hey, are you interested? Click. All day long. But I got to listen in on the morning meetings and I did learn a lot while I was there. And it's funny because now, in addition to my coaching program for lawyers and law students, I also started my own firm last year. So I'm in the estate planning space and I constantly network and collaborate with financial advisors. So life is so full circle. It's too funny.
Yeah, estate planning is all about money and accounting and finances. So yeah, that makes sense. The reason I ask all these questions is because I want the listeners of the podcast to be like, what decision would I have made in that spot, right? Like, I wonder if I would have decided that or decided something else, which of course they'll never know. But also now when they have that situation, okay, internship or tax law during the summer, they can decide, okay, so Lauren did this. What do I think will happen, right? Because my whole thing is like, just share your experiences and let somebody else learn from it. And I love that. And I love that you're being an open book with me.
Oh my gosh, of course. And I love that there's podcasts like this because, I mean, I wasn't in law school that long ago. I started in 2009 and finished in 2012, but there weren't podcasts like this. And so if I was sitting there spinning my wheels thinking, what should I do? I could go to a professor. I was a first gen attorney, so I didn't know any attorneys. My parents had no idea. I didn't really have anywhere to turn. So thank you for, you know, putting content out like this, because it will help people to hear people's stories, you know? And I'm a big believer, yes, it's good to have a plan and goals and know where you're going, but in life, sometimes you just gotta roll with the punches. And I really think the universe will guide you to where you're meant to be. Obviously, make informed decisions, but don't worry too much. It's gonna be fine. It's all gonna work out.
And this is where we need that like urging and prompting for people to allow the universe to do its thing too. You have the book knowledge. That's why you're in law school. That's why you are an attorney. That's why you already have that part. You're probably not too comfortable listening to that intuition. Which is where your consulting with law students and coaching them comes from. Can you tell us a little bit about that business?
Yeah. So it's part mastermind and part coaching program. So there's a community aspect where we meet every month and do group coaching calls. We do events. I have guest speakers and other thought leaders who are either attorneys or someone that I feel will be helpful. For example, we have a lawyer who I work with who's also a yoga teacher exclusively for attorneys. So she'll do yoga classes for the community. I have a financial advisor who's also an attorney who will get on and talk about personal finance. I love talking about personal finance too, but I like bringing in, you know, someone who's truly an expert with respect to strategy. I'm a lot more about mindset and what I've done to build up my wealth. And so we'll do that. We'll bring in guest speakers. And then there's the programming aspect. So there's modules that the different students go through, whether they're a law student or a new attorney, overcoming imposter syndrome, managing stress and anxiety, how to rewire your brain for success, and science-based tactics to rewire, like literally rewire your brain and think about how do we approach law school? How do we approach life? But these time periods in our lives have unique challenges that really mess with our brains. Like this, there are science-backed studies that show what happens. And that's why the mental health stats are so bad. And there's things that we can do about it. And sometimes that might mean a therapist or that might mean a psychiatrist. But sometimes it means that and coaching, or just coaching and understanding why you're feeling the way you're feeling. That's kind of an overview of what we do. We're also going to plan some live events this year. We're going to have an event at like a nice bougie hotel for lawyers, all lawyers, not just new lawyers, and law students to do yoga and meditate and have like a nice self-care day. It's an evolving business, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Yeah. And what's the name of your program?
So the community aspect is the Wealthy Lawyer Squad. And then if you're a law student, then you do the law school success blueprint. And if you're a new lawyer, you do the lawyer success blueprint. And there's similarities in the programming, but of course, those two different stages of our legal career have their own unique challenges. And so they're curated for, you know, which path you're currently on.
Yeah. And I like that you're calling it a blueprint, right? Like, this is the frame, this is where to go, but you know, you still get to fill in the other parts. So I like that. It's just the rough outline. So Lauren, when you decided to create the program, did you think about doing individual one-on-one coaching, or what was it that drew you towards the group coaching?
So for the new lawyers, I will do the one-on-one coaching included. And for law students, they can add that on. But what I personally like about the group coaching, because it's worked for me, you know, when I started a business, I did a group coaching with my husband and I just for our relationship and money. I really enjoy the group aspect of it for a few reasons. One, I think it's nice to hear that everyone is having similar struggles because it makes you feel like, oh, this is normal. This is part of the process. I'm not alone. And then it's like so much more bang for your buck because I can coach others and you, and you can listen in and really hear what everyone else is going through and hear someone being coached. And maybe their struggle is not exactly like yours, but then you can take pieces from it. you know, and if they want to sign up for additional one-on-one, that's totally great too. I'm always here for everyone. There's also a Facebook group. So if they just want to write in a question, you know, to me directly or to the group and say, hey, I'm feeling like this, or this is a struggle I'm having, or I need to decide internship versus tax class. What do you think makes sense? You know, those are the things that they can also do in addition to the group coaching. But I think it's so important to, one of the things we talk about as well in the programming is, where are you going? You know, everyone just says, I want to get in big law. I want to get in big law. What does that mean? Why? What's the reasoning behind it? And let's design the steps and the actions that you're taking to get you to the goal that you've already, you know, decided on. And again, you might evolve and you might pivot, but not just aimlessly joining the herd, not knowing why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that is so relevant. And I'm over here, I'm chuckling a little bit because when I was in law school, my roommate was obsessed with big law. I got to get in big law. I can't wait. It's going to be so great. And I'm like, no, I'm going to do environmental law, maybe the Army Corps of Engineers. Well, of course, we flip. And I go straight into big law. I worked in big law for 5 years. And I believe I was so successful in it because I had no prior knowledge about it, right? I was not expecting the 75-hour work weeks. I wasn't expecting to buy $1,000 suits, all of the stuff. I had no idea. And so, you know, it was one of those big firms, you know, the fresh flowers every Friday and all of that stuff. And for a while, I really thrived in it because it was so new to me. But had a mentor asked me, why do you want to do big law? Or why are you still here? Or what are you doing? That would have changed everything. Like, I probably would have given myself permission to change my mind a lot sooner. Instead, I waited until 2020 when I had my daughter and it's the pandemic. And then I'm like, oh, I bet there's more out there, you know?
Oh, I know. Oh, so we had babies at the same time. I had my son in October 2020, my first son.
Okay. Yeah, my daughter's June 2020. So we're about to have 4-year-olds.
Oh, I know. So crazy. It's funny. I feel like our industry is so unique. Like other industries, I feel like people are able to pivot and change their mind. I feel like they have more permission. In our industry, it's like, don't do this, you're not successful. And it's just this crazy myth that we tell ourselves.
And I think that, like, at least for me, I was like, okay, if I know what I'm going to do, take the LSAT, get into law school, get out of law school, do this. These are the most important things. And then when I get done with these things, I'll do the others. And then life doesn't work like that. So it's not until I get out of law school where I'm like, oh, okay, life is lifing. And now the only consistent thing is my actual job. Okay.
And Kyla, that is so common. That happened to me. That happened to most of my law school colleagues. A few, I think, somehow still had life going on. But how are you doing this? But it's so common. You know, we put all of our energy and all of our focus into law school. And then when we get out, we're like, oh, who are we again? You know, it's kind of similar to motherhood, like the beginning of, or parenthood. You're like, who am I again? And I think what happens too is we're like, oh, if I can deal with this stress and anxiety. I can white knuckle my way through law school. If I can just get through that bar exam, pass that bar exam and become an attorney. But what we don't realize is that if that's our way to cope is to white knuckle, we're going to do that through the next 40, 50 years of practicing law, if we stay in the law, that's not good. Like, that's not enjoyable. The whole reason we went to law school was to improve upon ourselves and invest in ourselves. Why are we buying into this crazy notion that we need to be stressed out and miserable to be successful? Like, when you really break it down, you're like, that doesn't make sense. And that doesn't sound fun. Let me get this. For life, like, we should probably be enjoying it.
You should absolutely be enjoying it. And there's something about that light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, okay, law school graduation. There we go. Oh, bar exam. Oh, get the job. Right. And you're you're constantly following that carrot and just chasing the next thing. And then you're like, oh, but what am I going to fill my time with outside of work?
Yeah. And then also to add to that, then you look at your law school debt and you're like, oh, wait. When did this happen? How much do I owe? This is crazy. And then we start our first job and we don't know anything about money unless maybe our parents taught us, or, I mean, I was a finance major and I knew nothing about money. Honestly, I got out, not personal finance. I was like, what do I do? What do I do with this money? Where do I put it? And I felt I think law school also tends to create this scarcity mindset in us that there's only so many pieces of the pie and we got to get that job and there's not enough money to go around. And it's, again, like another crazy myth that money is scarce. Money is an abundant, unlimited resource. There are so many ways to make money, so many ways to make money, and more so now than ever. And our law job can do that, you know, and other avenues can as well. So that's something we also talk about. That's like money is my favorite topic. So between my coaching program and my estate planning practice, I'm just talking about money all day. I'm a very happy camper.
You need money for everything. I need money to have a computer to be recording with you right now. I have money to have this house and this closet. You need money for stuff. I needed money to buy this shirt. Like,
provide a legacy for our family. Donate to charity. Contribute to new, you know, lawyers or law students that need scholarships. Whatever it is, like, money has so many uses. Buying nice things for ourselves. You know, nice vacations. So many things.
Not talking about money can be a big deal too. And it's almost like money is so prevalent everywhere that we ignore it. But like, I remember when I had he's still my law school mentor, but when I got a mentor and I was looking for jobs and they were like, well, this is how you negotiate. I don't know how to negotiate, right? And at first I'm like, no, but I just did trial advocacy. And I'm like, oh, negotiating for salary is different. And they're like, yeah, because you're emotionally connected and there's this and there's that. And you're just like,
and it's tied into your self-worth and whether you think you're worthy of more money. Like, it's money and psychology just go so hand in hand.
Yep. So you hand over all this money while you're paying for law school, but yet you're ignoring all of the money. And then it's so sad.
Yeah. And then you become an attorney. You get this high paying job. So now you're in like a very, not to go into the weeds, but like from an income tax perspective, you're super inefficient because you're slowly getting into a higher income tax bracket, which is good. But if we can't take deductions and we're not being smart with like how the money actually flows to us and we don't understand that, we've just done all this work, but we haven't done the homework with respect to how do we protect our money? How do we grow our money? You know, we're spending all this time working for this firm if we work for another firm, but are we taking care of ourselves? You know, our number one commodity, our number one moneymaker?
Yeah, maybe not. You know, we're going to have like a part two of this because I still bill my time. Like, I keep a report of everything, and that's how I knew I needed to hire a virtual assistant. I'm not quite as meticulous as when I was in big law, but I left 3 years ago and I'm still trying to break that habit.
You can take the girl out of the big law, but you can't take the big law out of the girl.
So I launch podcasts for other people and manage them and all this stuff. And I had to hire a coach because I was trying to do hourly pricing. And they were like, no, just price per project. That way, once you get efficient. And I was like, my mind literally broke. I was like, I don't. Because when people think hourly, they think working at the grocery store. Law firms is still hourly. I would turn in that report. I bill 2,500 hours this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We're all constantly up-leveling. And it's when you have that like aha moment, it does break your brain for a second. You're like, wait a minute. I can do it that way. That's allowed.
I know. And I'm like, we're so off topic, but not really. Even with my assistant, she does such a good job. And I'm like, hey, how do you feel about talking about project-based pricing? And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, because you're really good at doing all this stuff, but I don't want to pay you hourly anymore because you're so good. And she's like, oh, let me think about it. And I'm like, I know.
You broke her brain and you made her up level. So it's a trickle-down effect. I love it.
So, Lauren, I have one last question for you. And I always ask every guest, what would you say to young lawyers, 5 years practicing or less, or law students about what they can do with their law degrees?
What they can do with their law degrees. I mean, anything, honestly, whatever it is that you want to do, what do you care about? What do you want to do? Who do you want to be? Like, sit down and journal it out. Take 5-10 minutes every morning and think about, who do I want to be a year from now? Who do I want to be 5 years from now? Something that I do personally and with my students in the Wealthy Lawyer Squad is I say, we're going to write a letter from us 1 year from now to us currently. I do this every year, and then 5 years from now. So you're going to sit down and be like, where am I in 5 years? What am I doing? Who am I hanging out with? Who am I spending time with? Where do I work? How much money am I making? All the things. And that will help you reverse engineer what you need to be doing now. But the answer is anything. If you feel like you love the law and you want to stay and you're not happy in how it's currently working out, switch areas, start your own firm, go to a different firm. If you want to practice law and do something else, cool, you can do that too. I have two businesses and I also invest in real estate and run an Airbnb. You can do whatever you want. And if you don't want to be a lawyer anymore, that's cool too. There's literally no right or wrong answers. It's just whatever you want to do.
Yeah. I love that question because your legal knowledge, the experiences of calling a class and doing all of that will never leave you. Never leave you. I'm sure even as you are writing and reviewing your Airbnb contracts, you're thinking about the legal aspects. That part is always there, even if you open a food truck, start a hair company. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
To me, like, young lawyers and law students, rest assured, relax knowing that this information is not going away. I promise you. It is not going away, but that also means it's just a great foundation for you to do everything else that you want to do.
So true. I love that so much.
All right. So thank you so much, Lauren, for speaking with me today, and I will talk to you later.
Awesome. Thank you, Kyla.
Thank you for listening to You Are a Lawyer. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend and leave a rating of this podcast. New episodes are released every week. So keep taking risks in your legal career, and I will talk to you on the next episode. Bye.